Up in the morning and in the field, breaking my back just to pay my bills. Loving what I do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.
Welcome back, folks. This is Lloyd Creech II.
Paul McDaniel.
And you're listening to Radio Hour with EKH on 104.9 FM, WSKV out of Stanton, Kentucky. Hope everybody's having a great and wonderful July, middle of July weekend.
Hot and muggy.
And miserable.
Yeah.
The heat, I'm getting so used to working outside, it's not bothering me as much and stuff. But Friday, I don't know what happened. When I got up Friday morning, I actually woke up on time. The sun is not coming up as early, and so it's making it harder to get out of bed when it's still dark.
Well, that's the way I do, get up with the sun.
and so I have to. My alarm went off, and I was like, well, it's that time of day again, I guess. And so I'll go ahead and get up, and I got up, and it wasn't light outside yet. And so I got going, but then, so I drive the Jeep. It has air conditioner on it, but I don't use it because where I work outside, I don't want to go from the air conditioner out to the heat and then, just be miserable all day. So I try not to get around the air conditioner much. And so I'm driving down the road, and I got one window down because I smoke anyway and stuff. But then I seen one of my buddies over at the Hardee's and stuff, and so I stopped and talked to him for real quick. And so I had to roll the other window down so I can talk to him out the window. And so I got going down the road, and it was kind of cool Friday morning.
Yeah, I think it was.
And stuff. It's probably 8-10 degrees cooler than it has been. So I got going down the road, and I was like, man, I'm going to roll these windows up and stuff. I don't know what happened between Thursday night and Friday morning and stuff. But my body temperature evidently failed. But I got a little cool there Friday morning.
Well, I got up and jumped on the tractor and mowed around my neighbor's beehives before it got hot out. And well, the bees were still asleep. I didn't want to get eat up with the honeybees. So
yeah,
but it was cold enough that
it was chilly. I mean, it was perfect and stuff. But Friday afternoon it got hot. I mean, it was 91, 92, and then you got the heat index and all that crap and stuff. So it was bumping on 100. And everything, but
we're supposed to cool off a little bit next week. I think Monday they said a high of 82.
Really?
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
I wish it'd stay just that temperature all year round. I could handle it. 75 would be great.
75 would be optimal for me. Yeah. 75 would be optimal.
Well, where I grew up in the mountains in Pennsylvania, 85 degrees was a super hot day.
Yeah.
We didn't have that kind of weather.
Yeah.
And every night it was down to 50, perfect sleeping. And I didn't know anything about dog days until I come to Kentucky.
Yeah, humidity, woohoo.
And like I say, they call it dog days, I guess, because, the dog just falls over on this way and it falls over. And I think the last time I was on here with you, Lloyd, he asked me what I was doing. I said, I'll just follow my dog around because she knew where all the cool places were. She's laid up in the shop right now and didn't want to go. So,
what was it, Tuesday night, Wednesday night? Wednesday night stuff, we had bad moon rising. It was the bad full moon of July and stuff. You ever heard the song Bad Moon Rising and stuff? It's because the moon.
That big full moon?
The big full
moon. Well, they call it a buck moon, too.
Yeah,
and
buck moon.
It's when the moon was closest to the earth.
And so they had the big bad full moon on just the other day and stuff. That was, I noticed some of the older people that live around me and stuff, they were out checking out the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what are they doing and stuff? And they said, it's the bad full moon of July. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Well, I didn't go out and look at it, but I kept waking up thinking my security lights were coming on. I got them solar-powered security lights.
Yeah, yeah.
My lights keep something out there lighting my lights up. And it was just the moon had everything lit up.
Yeah, and had everything lit up. We've been working on the deck, later in the day towards the break of dark there and stuff because, it's just been so hot and everything. And so we've just about got my deck done. My Uncle Jimmy come over last weekend, and we got the rafters put up. And then one day this week, we got the ends of it cut off and stuff, angled up and everything. And so I ordered my metal Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. Tuesday, I think it was. And went and picked it up Friday. So hopefully this weekend I can get my deck done. So y'all don't have to hear me talk about my deck anymore. It's been like 3 or 4 months in the making.
Now we'll just talk about my brick chimney.
Yeah, yeah, 16 years in the making.
Well, it's not quite 16 yet, and I'll have it done by then.
And stuff, but so it's just about done. This week has just been a whirlwind of a week. I can't really talk about it on the air and stuff. We had to go to court over Bubby. We got some fairly good news and stuff. That's all I can really tell you and stuff without being, you know, blunt force, you know, there. And stuff, but we got some fairly good news and everything. Just keep on keep us in your prayers and stuff for the next couple of months. Prayer just really does work and stuff.
Oh yes, it does.
I've never prayed so hard in my life as I have in the last probably 2 months. And but we did get some fairly good news Monday, and that's all I can say about that for now. But we got some more stuff coming up and everything. Trace's not here this week. She's just not feeling good today. Oh, and so, you know, she's like, hey, can you get a hold of Paul? And then you and Paul go out there and do it. And so I texted Paul Thursday night. He's like, sure, I can do it and stuff. But, or he texted me back Friday morning. He's like, hey, yeah, we can do it. So, and stuff. But, gardening, man, I tell you what, this is the worst year I've ever had a garden.
Mine's beautiful.
I'll hush.
I got 14 foot tall sunflowers.
And so he sends me a picture the other day and stuff, and he ain't lying. I mean, it is a very nice looking garden. And mine, on the other hand, it went from really nice weather and everything was growing to drought for about 3 or 4 weeks. And I was having to start to water everything. And then we get those downpours in. The wind blew most of my plants over and stuff. So I'm trying to stake them up and get them going again, and then it dries off and heats up, and then it rains and stuff. But
that's today.
Yeah, and stuff. Mine's just a sea of green and stuff. I have to go in there about every 10 days and weed eat it down. I'm past the hoeing and tilling. I've been past that for a month now.
Well, I'm doing the weed eating part now because I can't get down between the rows to do everything, you know. Yeah. So I just get a weed eater out there and kind of hit it here and there and
stuff. I was so happy to get that healer better for the garden done this year and everything. I was like, oh, it's going to be an awesome garden and stuff and all this. I'm going to have plenty of time. I ain't had no time to do nothing. So,
but it takes time.
It does. It takes time and stuff. You know, usually from between 7 and 10 in the mornings, that's my gardening time and stuff. I've just not had that this year. So,
well, I've been growing gardens all my life, you know. My family grew gardens, and I just grew up with them. But I've never had two gardens in my growed life that were ever the same.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the seasons are always different, or the soil's different, or there's a bacteria in the soil, or fungus or something. You know, there's always something different.
And so next year, I was looking online at Elihu's garden, which is a really good guy. And he uses wood chips on his garden, and all his tomato plants are gorgeous. His corn and everything look good and stuff. And I was like, man, that'd be a really good idea and stuff. But I'd have to have, you know, probably 6 or 8 truckloads of mulch to cover my garden.
Well, see, I tried that one year, just stuff from my planer and table saws and all, you know, when I was really building stuff. And it turned everything to garden yellow.
Really?
Yeah,
all the acid.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't add lime to it, and
okay.
And I went down to the sawmill down there in Cow Creek one day and got a couple of big truckloads of their stuff that it was wood chip sawdust, you know, that had gone through heat, it turned black, and I put that out in the garden, and they didn't like it either.
Really?
You know, but now my neighbor's got them horse stables up there, and he gives me straw bedding anytime I want it out of them stalls, and everything's just jumping this year. I mean, I never had sunflowers 14 foot tall before. Yeah. Them were monsters.
And stuff, but yeah, mine's just not doing it this year. I finally got some pumpkin stuff put out about 3 weeks ago. I babied them and stuff, and, you know, petted them and talked to them and everything. And they're starting to vine out and stuff, and they're not just any regular pumpkins. These are supposed to be the 150 pound pumpkins and stuff. So it's the first time I've ever tried to grow them and stuff. They're in the mounds. They're doing really good. It's probably some of the healthiest pumpkin plants I've ever seen in my life and stuff. You know, usually they're about the size of your pinky. They're really long, elongated and stuff like that. But these here, they're about the size of my thumb. And they are just really gorgeous green. They got humongous leaves on them. And so it just may be the type.
Well, I harvested pumpkins the other day.
Really? You've already got pumpkins and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I got some pumpkins as big as basketballs.
Really? That's awesome. And my watermelon plant, it's doing really good somehow.
Well, I can't grow watermelons on a creek down there.
Really?
Yeah, every time I've tried them, and them and cantaloupes. Last year was the first time I had cantaloupes. They weren't any bigger than softballs. But now they were good, but I couldn't get them to come up this year.
And see, I didn't put out cantaloupe this year. That has to be, to me, this is my own personal opinion, the nastiest, worst smelling plant is. And stuff. I don't know what it is about a cantaloupe stuff. It's the smell. It's the texture.
Well, you can smell them.
Oh, yeah, you can smell them stuff. And last year I had a really good crop of them. And then where they stayed on that old wet ground last year.
They rotted.
And stuff. They didn't take but 2 or 3 days, and they was rotten. So yeah. They wasn't no good. But then I learned, you know, you put straw and sand and mix that up and let them lay on that and stuff. And
well, leaf mulch is good, too. And I started collecting leaf mulch already for next year's garden.
Mm-hmm.
That big rain we had here, what was it, been a month ago or so, we had, well, I don 't know if you had it up there, but we had 3.5 inches of rain in 45 minutes in the Cobb Hill area.
Yeah.
And all the ditch lines down the county road, the leaves just piled up heavy. And I took that old ton truck and went down there. Well, I just was able to scoop them in the truck. Mm-hmm. I've got a pile as big as this room.
Oh, wow.
And that leaf mulch is good in the garden because mm-hmm. it turns into dirt.
Yeah.
And doesn't burn anything up. And it keeps the weeds down. You can put it between your rows when everything comes up. If you do got a weed, it just pulls right on out of there.
Yeah.
But it keeps moisture in during droughts. Mm-hmm. You don't have to water as much. And
yeah, see, next year, I think, especially with me using a healer better now, because my garden and stuff, it's in the front yard of where I used to live at, which is still there on the farm. And when it rains real heavy like that, because we get all of our rain at one time, and we don't get those nice soakers anymore like we used to years ago. But so it the water takes 3 or 4 days to get out of the garden. And so I started using that healer better to mound everything up and stuff. But with the mounds and stuff, you really need either a mulch, a really good mulch to put on them, or you can use that garden fabric stuff, the whole garden fabric, yeah. Where it lets the water go in and don't let it escape out. And then it also keeps grass and other weeds and stuff from growing through it. So I'm playing with that idea. You know, when I was talking about the healer better before and stuff, I'm going to put another addition onto it for installing that stuff down anyway. So. But, my garden ain't doing nothing this year.
Well.
And then Paul sends me all these beautiful pictures of his garden and stuff and talking about 14-foot sunflowers. Did you have to replant your sunflowers? Because I know you put them out.
I planted two different plantings, and I kept seeds from last year's sunflowers, mm-hmm. which were a mammoth. But then I couldn't find sunflower seeds last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had three that come up volunteers, so I just kept all the seeds off of them, and I planted all them back. But this year, I did find some sunflower seeds, and it said mammoth sunflowers on the package.
Yeah.
Well, they got about 5 foot tall and got these little heads, and my sunflowers that I kept seeds from last year are 14 foot tall and got these huge big heads uh-huh. on them.
So yeah, that's what I grew last year was the mammoth ones and stuff. The heads on them were probably 16, 18 inches across.
Well, that's where these are.
And stuff. And I kept probably, I don't know, 15 gallons of seed.
Well, I'm going to feed my birds next year. I mean, I went and bought a little bag of, Do It Center there in Irvin where I've been getting my sunflower seed for birds. Uh-huh. Well, they quit ordering the bags of sunflower seeds because the price has gotten so high on them. Nobody wants to buy them. Well, I bought a little bag that, I about stuck it in my shirt pocket. I think it wasn't much. It was $10 for a little bag of seeds.
Yeah.
So, but I have to feed my birds. I got to have them.
And stuff. I know the black oil sunflowers and stuff is usually what's in those packs and stuff.
They'll eat anything you put them out there.
But sunflowers is one of those that you can throw it on blacktop, give it a little bit of water, and it will probably grow.
Yeah.
So as long as it can get a little bit.
Well, I've got over 200 sunflower plants out.
Really?
And my second planting, they're up about 8-9 foot tall now and have just now starting to head up.
So one thing I did do last year in the garden was I had my own wildflower patch. And so a lot of those were annuals. And so I had to reseed this year and stuff. And I moved the patch 40 feet back and 40 feet over. So because I like to, if my tomatoes grow here and stuff, I like to rotate where my tomatoes and corn and all that grow all the time. And so I rotated that wildflower patch this year. This year, it's about 30 feet wide and about 50 feet long.
Oh, great big one.
And so they here in about the last week and a half, the flowers are starting to really come on, and you're starting to see more bees, more butterflies.
None of mine came up. I sowed a big patch of them, not one single plant, but there was some seeds I sent off for.
Yeah.
And not one seed germinated.
Really? Teresa bought a 1 pound pack of seed, a half pound or a 1 pound pack.
That's a lot of seed.
From Meadows. And one of our listeners called me or emailed me or something other. And told me about American Meadows.
American Meadows, yes.
American Meadows is the company. And so we got some seeds from them. And then I go to Tractor Supply, and they were, Tractor Supply is really good about running something for about a month and then closing it out for 2 months.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And so I go when they're doing their closeouts on their garden stuff, and I bought like 5 pounds of flower seed and stuff, but I got to looking on them, they were from last year, and I was like, well, I'll go ahead and put them out just to see if they'll do anything, and they did. And so I got, right now, they're about 18 inches tall, most flowers about 18 inches tall, but you're starting to see a upkick in the bees and everything coming back into the garden and stuff, but my tomatoes and stuff, just a bad year. I think it's just where I don't have the time to really fool with it. But yeah.
Well, you know, I was saying last time about my tomatoes, and my neighbor said it was a bacteria in the ground.
Uh-huh.
Well, I talked to him, and he said it was a fungus and not a bacteria. But now those two plants that I had out there, I don't grow a lot of tomatoes. They didn't do anything, and now they're growing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to bring up this little story. Jim Kirk and stuff. He's one of our listeners. He's from Winchester, Kentucky, and he stopped me a couple weeks ago. He knows I closed the store, the grocery store, about 9 o'clock at night and stuff. So he was at a family get together, a family gathering, or something or other, and he said, "Hey, I gotta go meet this guy and stuff." He brought me a picture of Bishop Creech, which is my great grandfather, and Martha Creech, my great grandmother, and I think it was his parents or his grandparents. I can't remember exactly and stuff. But as soon as I seen that picture and stuff, my grandfather and my great grandfather looked exactly alike and stuff. They resembled each other a lot. And this was, I don't know what the year was on this picture and stuff, but it was a very old black and white photo and everything. And if you know anything about the Furnace Mountain up here, if you're going up from the Stanton side, going up 213 from the Stanton side, before you get up on top, a couple miles before you get up on top there, you're right across the ridge there, you got Hart's Orchard.
Yeah, it's Hart's. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Hart's Orchard is on the same land that the Creech farm was on back in the Depression and everything. So my great-grandparents owned it. That's where my grandfather was born at, and all his brothers and sisters and stuff. And so that I know where it's at. He's taken me to it several times when we were younger and stuff. We would ride four-wheelers and stuff up there. And see, and the last time I was up there, the old homestead house was still there and stuff. It was in really dilapidated shape, but it was still standing. And so, Jim Kirk and stuff, he dropped his picture off. He was talking about some of the thing. Now, he remembers my dad being like 11 years old, and my dad and Floyd, which is my uncle, and Glenn, my other uncle, coming to Winchester to see them. And him and his wife hadn't been married but 2 or 3 years, and they were all good family friends and stuff. He can remember my dad being 11 years old and coming and seeing.
Wow.
And that was really cool. So me and Jim sitting there talking and stuff. He's giving me a lot of history and everything, and we're going back and forth. Well, my dad pulls in. And so I said, Jim, come on. I want you to come out here and meet this feller and stuff. And it was my dad, okay? And so dad walks up, and I says, Dad, you know this feller right here? And he said, yes, that's Jim Kirk. And I was like,
well,
daggone, that's pretty good, you know? And he goes, Jim goes, it's been like 60 years since I've seen you and stuff.
He remembered him from that long ago.
And remembered him from that long ago and stuff. I can't remember somebody's name 60 minutes.
Yeah, ago. I'm 2 weeks, you know.
And stuff. I can be around them all the time and stuff. And I'm like, hey, you, and stuff, because I can't remember the name and stuff. But Dad, I, you know, almost 60 years later, remember this guy's name. Which, man. And so they hadn't seen each other in that long. And they have this really cool and stuff. I thank you so much, Jim, for bringing that picture over and stuff. I'll always treasure that picture. I love history.
Oh, I do too.
And Powell County history and stuff. Especially my grandfather was born where Hart's Orchard is now, which used to be the Creech homestead. And you would go down the front of the mountain, down the holler. I forgot what the holler's name is now. And Sugar Hill or something like that. And across the road from Sugar Hill and stuff was my grandmother's family's farm and stuff. So my grandfather and my grandmother lived within the same, I mean, you could almost see their birth.
I bet there was a trail there somewhere.
I'm sure there is and stuff. I've been on the trail before and stuff on four-wheeler years ago. But so my grandfather would leave his home, his house, and walk down the holler to my grandmother's farm when she was a little girl and everything. And they would, you know, see each other. And then when they got married, they lived on my grandmother's family's property. And at the foot of Furnace Mountain on the 1057 Hardwick's Roadside.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool that, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather both, they only ever lived within a mile of their birthplace. And stuff. Now, my grandfather passed away in Louisville, in a Louisville hospital, but that was because of a surgery he had. But he would actually was only lived within a mile of his birthplace.
Well, when I first come to Kentucky, you know, I met quite a few old people that they'd never been out of the county in their life, you know, and they's up in their 80s. They didn't have any need to go to another county. Well, ain't nothing over there I want to go to. You know, yeah. Everything I need is right here.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how Papa was talking and stuff. You know, I'd love going over to him and stuff. After Grandma passed away and stuff, he would say, hey, come over and see me and stuff. So I'd go over and see him. And that you know, there's a couple times and stuff. He's like, well, I'm going to go to bed. I said, well, I guess I'm going to go home. He said, no, you're not. You're going to sleep on the couch. I was like, okay, I guess I'm sleeping on the couch. But he would sit up and tell me these old stories and stuff of all the homesteads that were, you know, up in the mountains at the time. And he was talking about the history of the furnaces and stuff. He grew up during the Great Depression, and he made a promise to himself that when he grew up and left the family farm and stuff, that he would never go hungry or let his family go hungry and stuff. He was one of the hardest working men I ever knew in my life. And if you went out to eat and stuff, you was never allowed to pay for his food and stuff. He would only pay for his food, and then he'd turn around and pay for your food, but you was never allowed to pay for his food.
Well.
And stuff. And so he made that promise to himself, so, because, you know, Depression was a hard time and stuff, especially for the whole country and stuff. And then you get into these, you know, backcountry haulers and stuff back through here and stuff, and it would have been a lot harder and stuff. But,
well, they couldn't get things. I mean, they couldn't get coffee and all that. But, you know, as far as food, they still grow their gardens. Yeah. They still killed, you know, meat and
stuff. But he said there was a many a day and stuff that he would go hungry and stuff. And he vowed from that point on and stuff, he would never go hungry and never let his family go hungry and stuff. And so he was one of the hardest working men. But thank you so much, Jim, for coming over and sharing that picture and everything and stuff. I have very fond memories of this area over here and stuff. I love hearing about the history and stuff. I'm a big railroad buff myself and stuff. You know, Clay City used to be a big sawmill right there on the river and stuff. So they'd float logs down and then get cut up in Clay City and then put them on trains and send them off, you know, to all over the U.S. and stuff, wherever they needed stuff. And then you got Nada Tunnel, which used to be an old railroad tunnel, and up around Natural Bridge. And
well, I mean, there's this part of the world, there's just so much history. You know, the property I have, the old Stewart Fort.
Yeah, you used to tell me about that.
I've got a guy that's supposed to be finding more stuff out about Sherman Stewart, but he was in the Continental Army, and he was a colonel. And after the war was over, you know, the new Congress didn't have money to pay their officers, so they gave him land in Kentucky, which was Kentucky County, Virginia at the time.
Yeah.
Well, he settled right there where my house is at. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's some history there. I mean, I found a fork out there in the yard, and it's a fork that belonged to Sherman Stewart. So I live on Stewart's Fork, and I have Stewart's Fork. But
cool.
I found this old fork in front of where his old log house used to be.
Uh-huh.
And it said Penobscot Inn, Bangor, Maine, on it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I called up Penobscot Inn. I got a hold of a historical society up there and got an old woman on the phone. And she said, does it say Penobscot Inn or does it say Penobscot Bay Inn? I said, no, it just says Penobscot Inn. Well, she said that was an old stone inn that got bombed out and burned out during the War of 1812.
Oh, really?
I said, well, this fork's all the way here in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
You know, laying on the ground in front of where Sherman Stewart built his house. Well, Sherman Stewart was an old Scotsman,
uh-huh.
And I guess he probably come through up there when he come in, and he probably ate there and stole the fork and brought it to Kentucky with him.
Oh, that's cool.
But I've got that fork and a little history that I got on it, you know, wrote down, and that's one of my prized things,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you also got some spooky stuff going on up there and stuff. You was telling me last time I was over there, you see that log cabin and stuff? And I'm like, no. And he said, well, turn this way. You might be able to say, I don't believe in ghosts and stuff. But evidently, Paul does.
There's things out there that can't be explained.
And I'm sure there is and stuff. And, you know, that's a great thing about God and science and stuff. People try to act like him. And they shouldn't, but you know, their stuff, just leave it alone and stuff. But
well, before I ever built my house, I was living in an old school bus. Well, I ended up building a house for a couple down the end of the hall, and they lived in Nicholasville.
Uh-huh.
And he come looking for me before I ever started, and on a quad runner, and somebody said I built houses, so he come up there, and I wasn't home, and he rode up the road, and he went back. Well, when I finally met up with him, he said, I saw your house up there. I said, you did? And I thought he was talking about Susan's house, log house.
Yeah.
And I said, that log house? He said, no. He said, it was a two-story framed house. He said, it had yellow siding on it.
Uh-huh.
Well, the old house that used to be right where I built got tore down in the 1960s,
yeah.
The old Willoughby house. It had been a two-story yellow framed house.
Huh. Yeah, you used to tell me that.
And he swore that he saw that house standing there. I said, well, that house hasn't been there since the 60s.
Yeah.
And this was back in the 80s when I met him, you know.
Yeah.
And so, we don't know, you know.
Yeah, you don't know and stuff. But you said there was a library shop up in there at one time, a black stable or a blacksmith shop.
Yeah, that's on the Johnson Farm. On the Johnson Farm. Yeah, all life was in the hollow back in them days.
Yeah.
People didn't live on top of the mountains. There wasn't no water and wasn't no dirt and too hard to get up there. So everybody lived in the hollows there. And the old woman, she's dead now, but it was her daddy's store, the old George Johnson place. And she told me a story one time that was funny. Once a month, the grocery would come up the creek. You know, most of the roads were in the creek bed. Well, they'd bring in, you know, a team and a big wagon full.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody that day, that month, would meet down at the store because, you know, that was a big event. And,
uh-huh.
Well, the team and the wagon didn't come, and it didn't come. And finally, they heard all this noise coming and clatter and carrying on and whistles blowing. And so they saw steam shooting up in the air. And the old people got scared. They thought it was the end of the days, you know.
Yeah.
And they got down on the ground, went to praying, and Miney was telling the story. And she said, of course, the young'uns ran down the creek to see what it was.
Uh-huh.
they were bringing the groceries on a Stanley steamer, a steel-wheeled truck, chain-driven truck, and it was having the hardest time coming through them big rocks in that creek. And yeah. They never did bring that truck back up there. They went back to a team. But it scared the tar out of them old people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They'd never seen anything like that, you know.
Yeah, that would be so cool. There's so much history around here.
Oh, I love it.
People just knew and stuff, you know. You look at Powell County today and stuff, and you see these great big Daniel Boone National Forest signs everywhere, and all these big tall trees and everything like that. Back in when the furnaces were burning and stuff, you didn't have trees.
No, they cut it off for charcoal
and stuff. So they would clear all the trees, every tree they could find and stuff, big timber trees. Send it to the charcoal plant, make it into charcoal, and then send it to the furnaces and stuff to heat up the minerals, which is there's iron ore and several other minerals that you find in Powell County, Estill County, Wolf County, and that and stuff. So they had mines all over the place mining that stuff, and then they clear cutted all these big trees and stuff for the fuel for the furnaces and stuff. So what you see today was not there then and stuff. So there's a lot of
well, the lady that owns the farm with me, she we've been losing a lot of big trees here lately falling. Uh-huh. And down in that hollow when one of them big beaches fall, you know, mm-hmm. it sounds like dynamite going off. She said, why are we losing so many big trees? She said,
I said
it like this, and I think I'm right, is that at one time there wasn't any trees around there. Mm-hmm. But there was lime trees. They left the big trees on property yeah. lines and all. Well, all them trees started growing at the same time, 100 years ago or whatever. Yeah. And now they've all matured at the same time. Uh-huh. So they're starting to fall.
Yeah.
You know, that's just they've all reached the same maturity, and they're heavy, and they're coming down.
Yeah, and knock on wood and stuff, we don't have a lot of forest fires around here, thankfully.
Yeah, no. And
stuff, the wildlife and ranger stations and stuff, they do a wonderful job of doing controlled burns and everything. And so we don't see like what they do out west and everything. But there's chestnuts, stands of old American chestnuts up in these hills and everything.
Oh, yeah.
They're fenced off and stuff because chestnut almost went extinct at one time, and they was able to bring them back and everything. So,
well, there's a place over, you go back through Patsy back in that way,
uh-huh.
and it's called Panther Hollow.
Panther Hollow.
I mean, a guy hiked up in there one time, and there's chestnut trees you can't put your arms around, and they're uh-huh. American chestnuts.
Yeah.
You know, now that you know they were, you could just go up there anytime you wanted. Now the government's come in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, put fences around.
Yeah, you can't get in there to them now. But they were still making nuts. We had nuts we picked up off the ground.
Talking about Panther Holler and stuff. Me and my cousin Jason, we were up in the holler one day squirrel hunting, and we come out over off of Furnace Mountain there, and we heard this cat. Little girl screaming and stuff, and we're like, what in the world is a little girl doing up in this and stuff? But we, you know, little girl screaming, so we went towards the sound and stuff to make sure that everybody was okay, you know. And
found you a big cat.
Yeah, big cat, all right. It was a big black panther stretched out on a tree limb, one of those big old oak trees and stuff up in the forest and stuff. And I don't think it's seen us because we's above it, around kind of like a little rock ledge there and stuff. And I'm sitting there hitting Jason, shut up, don't make no sounds and stuff. Make sure it don't see us, and we act like we didn't see it.
Just kind of ignore it.
Yeah, just ignore it and you know, mosey on about our business and everything, get back to the house. Well, we get back to the house, and we're telling his dad, Glenn, you know, hey, we think we're pretty certain we seen a panther and everything. Oh, you boys don't know what you see.
Well, they're out there.
and this, that, and the other. And so, you know, a couple months go by and stuff. And he used to work for Powell County Schools down here. Worked for them for years and years and years. Finally retired. But one of these days, he comes in for work. And he gets out of his vehicle and stuff. And he's heading into the house. And he says he looks up. And there's this big black cat sitting right there looking at him. He said, you never seen somebody get into a house as quick as I did that day and stuff. And he said, I thought you all was just joshing me and stuff, you know, making these big wise tails up and stuff. But he said, I seen it for myself.
Well, they're afraid of us as we are them, so they're not going to want to do anything. But
yeah,
they're about 3 or 4 years up in the hollow there. We had cougars, big old buff yellow looking things. And then I had to shoot at one because it had a deer down in my yard. My brother was staying there, and it scared him so bad. He made me go get a gun, and you know, I just hit it with some birdshot, you know, and run it off. But there was one day I was cutting wood up around the cliff line, and I was walking around through there, and my old dog used to run with this big old yellow dog, and I hadn't seen that big old yellow dog in a long time. Well, I stopped going around that bench towards Peter Cave. We got a big cave up there. Well, I seen that big yellow dog walking. I said, hey, what are you doing? You know, hollered at it. And it turned around. It pinned, had these little teeny ears, and it pinned them up against the side of its head. I said, whoa. You know, I kind of fooled around with my pistol there a little bit. And I said, I'll tell you what. You go on to Peter Cave, and I'll go back down to my cave. The next morning, I was fixing coffee, and it was dark out, and the lights from the kitchen was going out through the window there. I've got a table out there I feed my kitty cats on.
Yeah.
Well, I seen this big old yellow face looking in that window. Well, there was that cat. He was just a young cat. He wasn't a great big one. Mm-hmm. Well, he was out there eating cat food and looking in the kitchen window at me. Oh, no.
talking about the wild animals right here stuff, when I graduated college, I worked for Kentucky Utilities over in Lexington. And worked over in the office there on Stone Road. And so one of my jobs was to go out and find these underground lines and to find the overhead lines and just make sure they met up. And they use a program called Small World on computer system. What's in the real world is in a small world. So when the electric goes out,
I'm already confused.
They can pinpoint where the electric goes out at and say, oh, you need to go pole number so and so at, you know, the given GPS coordinates and everything, and they can pinpoint where the problem is, and then they can see on the computer what's on each pole to say, okay, it's just a fuse or it's a bad transformer. Or it could be a burnt line or something other. And so I was out on the horse farm over on Winchester Road one day. And that was the highlight of that job, was going out to see all these big horse farms and stuff. They got tours now, but I had the personal tour of going out and checking their electricity and everything. And I get over on Winchester Road on, I can't think of it's the farm that Hamburg is named after. And I get out there and the farm manager comes over and says, hey, Lloyd, you know, we got some pretty interesting people that moved in over here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you do and stuff. He goes, yeah, come with me and stuff. So we take company trucks and we go out there and stuff. It was two families of wildcats that had moved into the farm. And they had moved into some really where they couldn't mow at because of a natural spring and everything there. And so it was really tall grass and everything. And they'd put some culverts in so you could get over there into another field and stuff. And they had took up residency around that natural spring in them culverts and stuff. So that was really cool. I'd actually seen some actual wildcats from Kentucky right here.
Well, we got them. We got them.
In the Lexington region. Then I'm out squirrel hunting again. Rabbit hunting up in the woods, and I run up on a family of them up there and stuff. And you go that way, I'll go this way. We'll stay in harmony.
Well, now they migrate around. You know, they might be in an area for a while, then they go off somewhere else, but they'll make the rounds. We heard something scream up in the hollow there the other day, and I don't know what it was, but it was a loud scream. Yeah, I don't think it was a coon or a squirrel barking.
It's been about 3 weeks ago and stuff. Jason King and some of the state road workers were getting off work coming from the garage back to the house. They live out in Jayville there. And they got around the store there or something or other, about 4:30 in the afternoon, something like that. And they said they had to stop driving down 460 to let the bear cross the road. And it happened right around Creech's there. It was Creech's Food Mart there. And they said they looked over, or one of the guys that was with them said they looked over. They said, you was working on a tractor. I mean, you wasn't 100 feet from it and stuff. But, I was paying attention to the tractor, not, you know, what was around me and stuff. But they said it was about a 200-pound bear.
That great big.
And stuff that was coming from the farm, my farm there, across the road and then back into the neighborhood and stuff. Now, bears migrate a lot. They get a big surface area.
Well, they're liable to show up anywhere, too, your backyard or up on your porch or
and stuff. I got one of my Facebook friends, Tammy, and stuff. She lives over here on Moores Creek, and they see the bears coming out of her backyard all the time. And so she lives at the foot of a hill there, and they post pictures all the time of the bears that come down into the backyards and stuff. And then they're also starting to see them over in Black Creek, which is over on 11 there. And but if you look at it from a map view, you know, from the clouds and stuff, we're not that far apart, Black Creek.
No, and they can travel.
13 and Camargo and stuff. The way the crow flies, as they say, we're not very far at all and stuff. Now, you've got to put the roads in there and stuff. You know,
well, they don't need a road.
Yeah, they don't need a road and stuff. So
they climb through about anything
and stuff. So now we got bears and stuff, which we've always had a bear up around the Jayville Farm, Science Ridge Road area, 1050, 599 area. There's been one up there for years and stuff. But I was talking to Wildlife Department, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, and they said, yeah, they're releasing some of these back out and stuff, trying to redo the populations and stuff. And it's fine, man. They's like, why would you, you know, everybody's like, why would you put bears and stuff? They were here before us.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. And people just killed them off.
Well, so were spotted. That's so were spotted leopards, but we don't want them back either.
And stuff. But, you know, they're reintroducing them and stuff, and they're adapting back to society as we know it now. And which I don't think it's a bad thing stuff, because I love seeing the animals out there in the wild and everything. Now, I would probably piss myself if a bear come up, knocked on, you know, hit me on the back of the shoulder and said, hey,
how are you doing? Yeah.
And stuff. So, you know, me out in the middle of nowhere checking on cattle or something, or other, that might be a different story. But, you know, they've introduced the hawks and the ladybugs. And
well, now, we got two piebald deer up there.
Yeah.
And one of them, she's got two little deer. They're just natural-looking ones. And the other one, she started down toward my garden. I finally had to put an electric fence around my garden, this one wire.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting on the porch, and I was watching her. Uh-huh. She was kind of easing down around through there, and then all of a sudden I heard her squall, and here she went cutting the crust out behind the barn. She touched that electric wire.
Oh, yeah.
But now, yesterday, I was sitting on the porch looking down toward the garden,
uh-huh.
And I said, what in the world is that standing there? And it was one of them big cranes.
Things
are tall. I bet that thing was 5 foot tall.
And yeah, they're pretty tall. They get
it strutted around down there, and
they get the minnows out of the creek and everything. Mm-hmm. And you'll see them. I don't know how many cranes there are in this region. I think it's the same crane that we see.
They said they lived like 25 years, and they'll come back to the same place.
Over in Montgomery County, you'll see the same crane going from pond to pond to pond to creek to pond. And stuff, and I guess it's the same crane. Cause
well, now at that Harper Ridge job over there, you know, at Slate Creek that's
uh-huh.
right there?
Yeah.
Well, they roost down in there.
Okay.
And they roost in the top of trees, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And in the spring of the year, they are the noisiest outfit you have ever heard, but really? they're thick in there.
Huh. That's cool. I didn't, because the one, when you see them and stuff, they're out by themselves and mm-hmm. stuff, so I don't guess. I guess they hunt by themselves, and then at night they roost together or something other.
I don't know what they do. I've seen maybe three, maybe four at one time on my place, and they'd be right around a big hole of water and just diving in there, you know, picking mm-hmm. all the minnows up
and stuff. Over in Camargo near the reservoir, my farm feeds in. It was one of the farms on that creek that feeds the reservoir, and I have seen the bald eagle. Come down through the valley before and stuff, and now that is fascinating.
Yeah, they are.
That is one of the most fascinating things I think I've ever seen in my life. You know, it's a national bird. It's our symbol of freedom and stuff. And to see have one of those fly down the valley of the farm and going to the reservoir and stuff, that is just a sight to behold right there.
Well, we had a couple in the Cobb Hill area there a couple of years ago, and I haven't been seeing them mm-hmm. lately, so they've moved on or
yeah.
something scared them off there.
Yeah. and stuff. That is just, you know, it's America's bird, you know, yeah. The bald eagle, the white, you know, the male.
Well, I walk every evening and have a little talk with God, you know, and mm-hmm. I try to thank him for everything that he's given me. And one of the things I thank him for every day, with my kitty cats and my doggy and all the critters are out there, you know, the squirrels, the birds, uh-huh. just everything, you know, you know, I don't chase that stuff around. I don't hunt. You know, uh-huh. they're not afraid of me. And my dog, she's too old to hunt anything. Yeah. The cat might think it wants to hunt something, but, you know, but, you know, it's just so nice being there. And just, you never know. You go around a corner and there's different animals there. And it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
It's something to be very thankful for.
Yeah, you know, even though I'm super busy with hay and everything, I'm not super busy with hay no more. I ripped my drive shaft out of my mower the other day in Jeffersonville. And guess what? John Deere don't make parts for it no more. And so I'm looking for a new mower conditioner at this point in time so I can do some hay later
can't
on.
Can't build your drive shaft?
No, not the slip yoke didn't slip.
Oh.
It yanked. And when it yanked,
it pulled everything apart.
It just pulled it apart and everything. And yeah. And to get that put back together and get it balanced and everything, it'd be almost impossible and stuff. So I'm looking for another mower at this point in time and stuff. But
well, go on Tradio. Maybe somebody's got one.
I will and stuff. I've been looking on Facebook. I've been looking online and stuff. I can't afford a new John Deere mower conditioner is about $35,000.
No, I ain't got that much of my farm and two houses.
And the one I had, it was 25 years old. It's still a great mower and stuff, but you can't buy parts for it no more. And I have all these new parts and stuff laying around because, you know, you try to keep some stuff on hand and everything. But I didn't have that part I needed. Yeah. Yeah, well, they don't make it no more.
Well, I got a little new mower. I bought with not a new one. I don't know how old it is either. It's a Continental Belton, made in Belton, Texas.
Really?
And it's just it's heavy.
Yeah.
It took a little forklift and three of us to get in the back of my little Ford Ranger truck. And then the guy said, well, how are you going to get that out of that truck? I said, well, we got it in there. I'll get her out of there.
Yeah, you got the
But that thing is so simple.
Uh-huh.
It just,
you know, I was going to talk about that. Before me and Paul got started, you know, the show today and stuff, we seen AC mower in here. I haven't seen AC in...
Well, it's been 3 years since when you and AC come down to my farm, you know.
It's been probably right in the middle of COVID since the last time I seen him. And you know, he still looks the same stuff. I did not know he had the brain aneurysm and stuff.
Well, I knew that, you know,
and stuff. And AC's had a really hard time and stuff, but he looks good.
He looks real good
and stuff. He looks just like he did, you know, years ago and stuff. And so when I come over here to the radio station today to do the radio and stuff, I was talking to AC and stuff. We do the radio at 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night and stuff, so we don't run into the. I seen Angie today. I haven't seen Angie in over a year and stuff. I usually run into Caitlin and stuff, or yeah, is it Caitlin?
Yes.
Yeah, and stuff, but I never see Angie anymore and stuff. And so I seen her today and didn't even recognize her and stuff. And then I seen AC.
Well, I didn't really either, you know.
Yeah, and so it was just like, cool, there's people here.
Well, I saw AC sitting here, and I said, well, that fella looks familiar. I don't know who he is. I probably had to ask him. Well, I asked Lloyd, and Lloyd told me, and then
and stuff. But that was cool, you know. There's somebody actually here and stuff that you can talk to and stuff. Because usually we come in, it's all black and everything, computer's running. And stuff. Caitlin might be, you know,
every now and then she's in there.
Every now and then she's doing it and stuff. But so I seen AC and everything, and he was asking about Bub. So I told him the story about Bub. I'll tell you after we get out of here. So everything's just going good. I'm glad to see everybody. That was just really cool. But we got talking about lawnmowers. Paul had to buy a new one this week to put on the back of his tractor. And Monday or Tuesday, so I'm out. I had Jordan helping me cut yards and everything, and I was out doing something else. And then I called him, and I said, hey, you know, I'll meet you back at the store. We'll load lawnmower up, and then we'll, you know, head on home and stuff. But he forgot to mow the ditch on the side of the store. You know, no big deal and stuff. I'll go grab the mower and mow the ditch. No big deal, you know. And so I go get the mower and I get on it and I mowed a little piece over here and I went over there and mowed a little piece. Then I go to the ditch and I made one round of the top of the ditch and snap.
Oh.
and I was like, and Jordan by that time had already got over to me and stuff. He goes, "What was that?" And I said, "I don't know. It won't drive." And so I had noticed the rear end was tilted when we took off that morning and stuff. Well, it was really tilted when I heard the snap stuff. We got off of it. I had tore the rear end out of the back of my mower. No. And it's one of those hydrostatic ZT or zero turn mowers and stuff. Really nice Hustler mower. I like Hustler. They're really good mowers and stuff. They mow really good.
Well, they'll all break.
And stuff. But they just had defect in them and stuff. And so I had to go buy a new mower this week too because I ripped the rear end out of my mower and stuff. And then Paul has to turn around. And he buys a finished mower to go on the back of his tractor and everything. So
well, I hadn't had it yet, but I had in mind to buy one. But I was mowing with my little Kubota riding mower.
Yeah.
You know, I mowed around the house and I mowed down around the garden and I said, well, I'll come back up the house, take a little break. Mower mowing great.
Uh-huh.
Pulled up in the shade in the yard there and shut it off. When I did, the belt come flying out from the deck.
Oh, no.
I mean, it just went shooting out the side of the thing. I said, oh, no. So I said, well, I'll go get my weed eater. And it's pretty much a brand new one. Yeah. And I said, well, I'll weed eat around the garden. And all of a sudden, it started making a racket. Then I looked down. There was about 6 ends of string coming out of it. I don't know what it done to it. But it eat that string up, and it was coming out of there every which way. So there I didn't have anything to mow with. So I went and bought this finish mower and it was used, and don't know how long it'd been used, sitting, and I greased it up a little bit and put it on the tractor and went to mowing with it, and I finished all my mowing, so.
And then you had to paint it. And stuff.
Well, you got to paint it, Lloyd.
No, now, you don't.
Now, let me tell a story here, because, Lloyd, you're too young to know this, and any of you older fellows out there my age, 70 or around there, you know it to be the truth. If you got an old car, old Dodge, a Ford, or Chevrolet, an old rough-looking car, if you take it out in the backyard and you wash it real good and clean it out, that car not only looking better, but it's going to run better. Now, that's a fact.
How's it supposed to run?
Well, it just does. It's positive thinking. And any of you old fellows out there, you'll know that. And y'all give Lloyd a call and tell him so. Because, you know, I'll get an old piece of machinery because I can't afford to buy nothing new. And once I get it fixed up where it's running all right, I'll paint it. Right. And like my grandma used to say all the time, you know, she's an old German woman, and she'd always paint a little something up or fix a little something up. And they'd say, Amanda, what are you doing that for? Just for pretty.
Uh-huh. It has to be just for pretty and stuff. Cause
I got the prettiest old Massey Ferguson tractor and the prettiest old mower you've ever seen.
And so now, because, you know, I wash the mower once a month, maybe. Well, I used to take the leaf blower and blow it off and everything to blow the grass and the leaves from out of the top of the mower and stuff, make it run a little bit better that way and stuff. But as far as washing vehicles and stuff like that, the Jeep got washed 2 weeks ago for the first time, probably a year. And stuff. Dirt is what holds stuff together.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for big rains on my stuff anymore, you know. But but now, you know, the only thing I've got that's brand new right now is my teeth. And I ain't painted them yet because they still got a pretty good finish on them. I'll come in here one day and Lloyd will look at my mouth and all my teeth will be different colors. And I said, well, that's the kind of paint I had, you know.
And stuff. But, yeah. I keep most of my equipment in, out of the weather and stuff, except for my bush hog. It's too big to, you know, the wings will not stay folded up. No matter how hard you try.
The hydraulics are down on it.
The hydraulics are going to leak off on it.
That's where that old backhoe is. It, you can't keep nothing up
and
on
so,
it.
And so it's about the only piece of equipment that really stays outside. My rakes don't go in. They're too tall and too wide to go into the barn. But other than that, the tractors all stay in barns and stuff like that. I understand keeping your machinery as nice looking as you can and stuff like that. I got an old John Deere 5300 that the previous owner did not keep it in the barn, and you can tell and stuff because all the paint's flaking off of it and everything now and stuff. I'll get it painted one of these days, but
well, see, most of my stuff has to sit out.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I figured the paint will help it a little bit.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, I can't afford brand new pretty stuff, so I figure if I throw about, you know, $10 worth of paint on it, it'll look brand new and pretty. So
Well, we'll have to get you off the red paint and get you onto the green
paint.
Well,
they had a sale on red paint the other day.
Oh, okay. I'm a green paint kind of person, but
well, I like green
and stuff.
I just painted my.
I noticed everything you do is like red. So
well, the Masti.
I didn't know if the red smelt better than the green.
Well, the Masti was originally red and gray, so I wanted to paint it back, and then it turned out this little Continental Belton. It originally was red, so I painted it. Kind of matches the little tractor now, so it, you know, it's purdy.
It's purdy. And purdy, okay.
And it runs better now.
Is it more aerodynamic?
I think that's exactly what it is, you know. It.
The tractor can only go like 16 miles an hour, but the motor can go 100.
Well, I don't know if any of y'all ever read a book called Tobacco Road. It's an old-time book. And they were going to fix the old car up and go to town. And he told his boy, he said, take that old car, clean it up, take you a brick, and rub all the rust off of it, and get you some coal oil and wipe her down.
Yeah.
Made it purdy.
Yeah, made it purdy. Did it go any faster though? Did it?
Well, I think probably that car probably only run 30 miles an hour in its life, you know. But.
And stuff, but keeping your equipment stuff. But so we've talked about the garden. Yours is doing awesome. Mine kind
of
sucks.
Well, I'm getting stuff out of it. My onions are ready to harvest, and I've already been canning beans. And
I've got 3 cucumbers out of my garden this year.
Well, I only got 2, but there was a story on that, too. My cucumbers weren't doing very good, but I had 2 pretty good-sized ones.
Uh-huh.
And I got a little quart crock that belonged to my mother. It looks like a little barrel.
Uh-huh.
It's a little pickle barrel.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, anyway, I had 2 cucumbers, and I said, well, if I had 2 more, I'd have enough to fill that jar and make some pickles.
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't have them, and neighbors come down to visit, and they rode on down through and was going down to see Moonshine Mike. You know, he'd been sick, and,
mm-hmm.
and well, he wasn't home, so they come back up through my place. Well, they had 2 cucumbers out of their garden, and she handed the cucumbers to me. They were my 2 cucumbers. So I went in the house and put me up a crock full of pickles.
And stuff. Teresa says every year that she's going to can more pickles and stuff. She likes the bread and butter pickles and stuff. And she's like, just give me the cucumbers out of the garden and stuff. Okay, here you go. So there's 3 in my fridge now and everything.
I've got 1 hanging out there now.
She's like, you know, we never have time to do this anymore. I know that's the thing about, you know, life right now. Nobody ever has time to get done what they say they want to get done. But hopefully it will start slowing. I know if we still got the end of July, all of August, and the first part of September to deal with this heat and stuff. But hopefully it will start cooling down a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I know the sun ain't coming up as early, and you can tell in the evenings that it's not staying out as much. So,
well, you know, we still got a long growing season too. Uh-huh. So, you know, if your garden's just now starting to make stuff, and we do get a little rain, we'll get a lot more stuff out there.
And stuff. I'm actually going to put out some green beans about 3 weeks ago. And some of those are starting to come on now and stuff, but my corn, it didn't do nothing. I planted my green beans and corn on the same day, and none of my corn came up.
Well, I'm worried about my second and third planting of half runners.
Yeah.
I got the prettiest, beautiful plants out there, but they're not making any beans.
Really?
Now, my first planting I put out, they come up kind of spotty, but I think the crows were pulling them up.
Uh-huh.
But I've already done 1 big canter load out of it, and I've got about a half canter load out there to do again. But I started going down through my other half runners, and like I said, they're beautiful plants uh-huh. growing into each other. I can't find any beans in them.
Yeah. I know the birds, I think, ate most of my sunflower seeds this year and everything. They said, hey, Lloyd's planting over here. We got to go over here and see what he's doing.
Well, I got 4 or 5 crows that live around there, you know. And
stuff. But, other than that, I mean, the gourds and stuff, I got apple gourds growing this year, and they look really good and stuff. They've not started making any, like, fruit yet, but the blooms look great. And so I'm training them to grow up the trellises and stuff. I went and got some cattle panel and made them into a hoop and got them in the ground and stuff. And then the gourd plants are growing up that really well. And, you know, that's just part of it. You got to train your plants to do that. I have a trellis on my cucumbers, but they for some reason, the cucumbers do not like that trellis. So I'm going to have to come up with something else next year.
Well, I made a cage for mine to climb on.
Uh-huh.
Well, they were started climbing on the outside. It was chicken wire cage. Yeah. They started climbing on the outside. Now they're all on the inside, and that's where my cucumbers want to be. And I can't get in there to get them out. I take the whole cage apart to get the cucumber out.
Yeah, that's the problem and stuff. And then, see, I got like bukus of tomato cages sitting around. And so I went and got the ones that are made out of concrete wire and stuff. They seem to be the stronger tomato cages to do. Well, out of all the last storms that we've had in the last couple of weeks and stuff, the wind blows them over. I have got 4 tobacco sticks in each cage trying to keep that thing up. And somehow the wind keeps on blowing it over.
Well.
And so I'm having fun keeping... They'll produce some good tomatoes. I know I got a lot of blooms going and stuff, so hopefully they'll come around.
Well, one thing about them concrete wire tomato cages, they don't get along with bush hogs very good.
Oh, did you find that out?
Yeah, I've known from my neighbors down there, and they hadn't cleaned up around their garden last year at all. And she didn't tell me what was piled up in them weeds. I never got that thing out of there.
How fun is that?
Yeah, well, then the other day I went down and mowed again for them. She didn't tell me the garden hose was laid out there. And that was fun, too. And I ended up wrapping about 40 foot of garden hose around the bush hog.
Oh, man. That's just like I went up to Jeffersonville there a couple weeks ago to start cutting hay. And that was before, that was like June 20th, something like that. And so I'm going up there, and I hit something. I don't know what I hit to this day. I don't know what I hit and stuff. But it blew my drive line out and stuff. I can't get the drive line. But you can mark on your calendar, guaranteed that around July 4th, either within 3 days of July 4th or 3 days after July 4th, it's going to rain. It's going to rain a lot. And when it rains a lot, my Jeffersonville farm floods. And so it flooded. So not only did I get no hay off of it last year because of all the flooding and stuff, now it never dries up there. And now I don't have a mower to go up there and cut hay. So I'm a little down and out as far as, you know, I think I got enough hay to get me through. But I'm going to be one of these farmers that's going to cut one time and call it good and stuff. The fuel prices are just out of this world. And so I'm going to cut it one time. I've still got hay on the fields. I'm going to eventually get that off air and then bush hog it down and just turn the cattle in on it and stuff. So I know a lot of people that's going to do it this year and stuff because the fuel prices are just...
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Out of this world and stuff. But gas prices are down to $3.89.
Yeah, but
that's a Friday afternoon.
That still ain't $1.89.
No, it's not. It's far cry from $1.89 stuff where it was years ago.
Well, I just don't go anywhere anymore. And if I go to town, I make a list. I'm going to get everything that I think I'm going to need for a week. You know, if I'm working on anything, if I need red spray paint for something.
You live out in BFE Timbuktu.
Well, I'm 32 miles round trip just from Ravenna.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a fast road either.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to think about things like that. Especially with, you know.
I use more gas climbing out of that hollow than
Yeah, that's probably not a lie there. All right, guys, I hope everybody enjoyed the program today and stuff. It's just be careful this weekend. It's going to be hot. Supposed to get some rain in here Saturday night or Sunday, or I think the better chance is Sunday night into Monday.
Well, that's what their weatherman said. But then he said it wasn't supposed to be humid today either, and it's been muggy all day.
It was rough today and stuff. And then, but it's supposed to be somewhat cooler next week.
I hope so.
I hope so too. I'm getting kind of fed up with the heat thing.
Well, I've been having some shop work to do out there, and I've got a big fan in the shop, but to run it, I've got to turn the generator on.
Yeah.
And I don't want to waste the gas in the generator, so I try to do my shop work early in the morning or late in the evening.
Yeah, I was going to work with you on that and stuff. I was going to build you a condensing fan and stuff to blow air across the condenser and stuff like an air conditioner, but use your water hydroelectric plant in place of air conditioner and stuff, and to help you out. But
well, I built one a couple of years ago. I took the heater core out of an old Ford car, and took it in the house, and I've got, you know, a place where I can hook a hose up in the utility room, and I fixed it to where I could run water in it, and then I run another hose over into the bathtub and built a little box around that thing and stuck a little fan in behind it. And it dropped the air temperature in that utility room. About an hour's time, it dropped at 8 degrees.
Really? That's awesome.
But I'm still wanting to build an air conditioner out of a propane refrigerator, one of the smallest ones I can get.
Yeah. So guys, if you got a propane refrigerators are usually in your RVs and stuff.
One
like
of the
that.
Little tiny small ones.
And stuff. If you got one laying around, and I know you do, and stuff, give us a call and stuff, because I'd like to get on that. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And stuff. I hope everybody had a great experience this week for the show and stuff. I love talking about history and everything and
I do
all the different stuff. But we'll catch you here next week. Paul, you got anything else to add?
Not a thing. My neighbor Moonshine Mike's he's got leukemia and he's battling it pretty hard. But he's a music man, and they're going to have music for him tonight, live music down there. So when I go home, he's my neighbor. We're going to go down, and they went together, and he said they bought $1,000 worth of fireworks.
Woo!
So they're going to be lighting Cobb Hill up tonight. So it'll be kind of interesting, and we'll stop and visit with them for a little while.
Well, that's cool. All righty, folks. Everybody have a great and blessed weekend, a blessed work week ahead. And we'll catch you here next weekend. So long.
Bye.
Love the Lord anew till the day I'm dead.